deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to Flashpoint episode 45, 5 till 50, which I'm pretty excited about at least, because I'm a bit sad like that. This week, we've got a bit of a different lineup, because if you listened last episode, you know our regular Star Wars The Old Republic guru in particular, Ed, is off on a road trip to the US or moving back. So we're not going to see Ed for a number of episodes, we're not sure how long. So in his place, to some extent, we're very pleased to welcome as a co-host. Well, she's giving us a test run, so she may run screaming out the door. Christy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So Christy's, well, tell, sorry, there's no point me talking about you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, let me see. I write the column The Naked Gamer for the site. I have been playing games since before I could walk, and gaming pretty much is my life, unfortunately.
Wow, that sums it up quite nicely. And alongside Christy and myself is the man who I sort of see as a cross between Professor Xavier and the Hulk, Simon.
What the hell am I supposed to say about that?
No, I just made that up on the spot. I didn't even plan that. But
no.
I see, like, you're highly intelligent and you're a little bit green.
Prone to anger?
Prone to anger. Actually, I've never seen you really angry, Simon.
Few people have.
It's only when
and certainly no one who lived long enough to tell That's about true. It.
Although I know when Ed used to do his laugh that I could feel the anger through the Skype, but only because I was feeling it as well.
Xavier smash.
Yes. We love you, Ed. I'm sure you'll
Sorry,
be
Xavier. Xavier.
Xavier, yeah. Yes.
Always forget that.
So let's jump straight in. As always, there's quite a bit to talk about. And just to let you know, the last thing we'll do is we're going to do a little bit of a mini feature or debate around the whole Disney buying Lucasfilm, or because that's obviously a big thing that happened in the past week. So even if you hate everything else we say, fast forward through about half an hour or more and you'll jump to that. But let's go straight into Star Wars The Old Republic and Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
In the last week or last fortnight with Star Wars The Old Republic, I think I said this last episode, it's been a bit bloody slow, but there's a couple of things we can still discuss. And the first one's probably a bit of a negative, but, you know, like any podcast, we like a bit of negative stuff to chew over. And that's, we had a bit of an unexpected downtime in the week that's just passed. And now I'm forgetting which, was it Wednesday or Thursday night? And sorry, Simon, I forgot to mention in the intro. Simon, tell us how your gaming experience has been over the last fortnight.
I haven't had any. I have been moving. I've had no internet. I've had no hot water. Periodically, no power.
So that's why
I have many, many boxes, though, and they're all staring at me.
And that's why this episode is called Episode 45, The Infinite Boxes, in case you're wondering. So, yeah, Simon hasn't played anything, so he's just going to bring his Professor Xavier-like mind to...
Xavier.
Xavier. See, I don't know anyway. We're not going to go there. to the games, in that he's going to read the minds of what we're thinking and probably disagree.
David, you're rambling.
Yeah, I know. It's because Ed's gone. Someone's got to do it. All right, so downtime last week, was it Wednesday or Thursday? Anyway, I think it was Wednesday night. We had a very unexpected downtime, so I started getting people, particularly on our Twitter account, saying, hey, is SWTOR down for you as well? And it sure was. So the site was down, everything was down. It was just giving a basically a site not found error. So it was just like it had disappeared off the face of the earth. And that went on for literally hours. I actually haven't got the blog post, but I did sort of did a live blog as information came in from different people, affected all servers from what we could see, or as far as people logging in, although people that were already logged in when it hit seemed to be able to still play. I think it was about 3 hours after it occurred, there was finally some acknowledgement from BioWare, hey, we've got an issue, we're working on it. And it wasn't that long after that that things came up, and it appeared that it was something like a DNS server that had was faulty, and assuming once they fixed that up, all was good. But there's been no, and please correct me out there if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there's been any acknowledgement of the problem or what caused it. So sort of usual BioWare transparency. Simon, to you first, any thoughts?
That they're consistent.
There is that.
Don't comment on problems. Don't apologize for problems. Just pretend they're not there. That's BioWare. Yeah. That's what they do.
And I don't know where they're role modeling it from, because even your Blizzards will tend to say a little bit more than what they have. I just don't understand why the need to keep it secret. I mean, if they said the DNS server was on a Commodore 64 and the cartridge fell out the back, okay, you don't want to be disclosing that, but assuming they've got decent hardware, I don't see why you go, well, this stuff happens sometimes.
Yeah, well, the thing, I mean, granted, I don't have a massive understanding of how these things work, but it's not just one DNS server. There's multiple DNS servers. I mean, if one DNS server goes down, then I mean that would be a fairly big deal, because that would have a number of consequences, but it would only affect people who get pointed through that particular or get pointed through that route. It's definitely sounds like a DNS problem, but being a problem with the server itself, I find that a bit suspicious. It's more likely something got erased somewhere from their end, and then it propagated through the internet.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the DNS one was basically an educated guess from someone that I saw. So I don't think even have even alluded to it being a DNS server. So could be talking out my ass totally, as per usual. But
but you're right. It does sound like some issue with DNS, but. Then that's especially for the fact that people could still play, because obviously if you lose the DNS or something gets screwed up there, then you can't find it. But if you're already connected, it wouldn't have any effect on you
that's
at all.
That's right, yeah, which makes sense. So anyway, no explanation. He's hoping it doesn't happen again. Oh, and I mean, there was some conjecture initially that it might have been to do with the former Hurricane Sandy, but there was, again, not knowing exactly where all their infrastructure is. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't part of the issue. But anyway.
Was it just East Coast servers or West Coast servers?
The reports I were getting is that there were Europeans affected, and I actually didn't break. Yeah, I didn't notice whether it was West versus East in the US. And then it was definitely affecting local players as well.
Sandy was a big storm, but it wasn't that big.
No, not to go to Europe. No.
I don't know. The Secret World apparently was running off generators. Yeah. So.
And that's another whole interesting discussion on itself. The amount of tech companies that were running off generators, you just think, well, that's got to help the whole global warming thing in a big way.
As long as we can still play our games,
yeah,
I don't
all
mind.
That's right. So, and the other thing is the patch 1.5, which we don't have an ETA for when it's going to go live, although I think it's not too far off, so it could happen this week, but if not, it's only in the next couple of weeks. It's had an update on the public test server. Again, just knowing, Chrissy, you're not a huge SWTOR player. Simon, any things that stood out for you about the 1.5, and I know we talked before the show about the free-to-play being the dominant part of this. Any stuff you've heard around the place?
Well, I've I mean, they're still making graphical tweaks. Apparently, they're making some improvements to the shaders with the most recent update on the PTS. So that's always good. It's always nice that they make the game look a little bit more attractive. Although, again, that seems to be just sort of fishing around the edges rather than making some of the more substantive improvements that people keep demanding.
Yeah.
The other thing I think I've heard most about is because they're doing a bit of free-to-play testing with 1.5, in fact, that's all they're really testing, is that when you go on there, everyone is a free player. So there's no preferred, there's no sub-grade on there. So you go on as a free-to-play. And apparently, and hopefully this is going to change, they have a lot of little gold coins dotted around the UI at the moment, which is just letting you know that, hey, you can pay to add this or change this or modify this. I think at one point they've even talking about you have to pay for a second quick bar.
Oh no, surely not.
So there's some real nickel and diming going on, and granted, one of the main reasons I don't really bother with the PTS myself, much as really we should all be pitching in there, is the same problem I've always had with it. One, it's a massive download, and two, the character transfer thing still doesn't work properly. So
yeah.
you can't do what you've been able to do with WoW since the year dot, which is take your high-level character over. So you always end up leveling a low-level character, and who wants to spend that much time playing a class that you're never going to be able to play in the real world, you know, on the live servers, or doing something you've already done. The number of ways they just seem to shoot themselves in the foot, and things that were complained about during the closed beta, they still haven't fixed. I don't know what they're doing, but it's clearly this is their first MMO, and that's obvious every single time they make these little stuff ups, and I'm just hoping that they've got some smart people to come in and get the free-to-play working properly, because the last thing they need is another screw-up.
Oh, absolutely. And just on the PTS, and you're right about WoW, I mean, they also have the pre-made. So, for example, I know it's only in the last few weeks on the PTR on WoW that they have the level 90 pre-made. So even if your character doesn't transfer, or you choose, I'm not exactly sure how the character transfers work, but you're right, I know my character could be on there, that you have the level 90 pre-mades out of the box to test the new stuff out with.
Yeah, and that's another thing that we kept asking for in the beta, because the problem with the closed beta was that every time they updated the build, all your characters got wiped and you had to start again.
Yes.
So I can't tell you how many times I played through Korriban.
Yeah.
redoing my Sith Warrior over and over and over again, and we kept asking, can you at least give some of us the option of level 40 pre-build so we can check some of the higher level stuff? They never did. I don't know why. Maybe they didn't want everybody to realize there's no endgame.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? But yeah, no, very valid frustrations. And on the free-to-play stuff, you're right, if they nickel and dime it too much and there's constant reminders, like I'm sure it won't be, but if it ends up like a Facebook game where you've just got the constant prompts to pay stuff, then it's going to be a very nasty outcome, I would have thought.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, they did bring on those monetization people. Well, in fact, they've got the strike teams, as they seem to call the various groups within the company. And they've obviously been doing their job at figuring out what people could considerably pay real cash for. And that's fine. I mean, you expect that sort of thing. I mean, if you've ever played something like Free Realms, it's covered in these little prompts.
Yeah.
But that's basically a MMO for kids. It's all bright and gaudy and chunky, so that sort of thing doesn't stand out too much. I think if they really need to have a good look at how DCUO did their play, because you do get those prompts, but they're not in your face all the time.
That's right, yeah. It's interesting times, to say the least, and I know this month is when free-to-play goes live, so, you know, we're all going to get a chance to react to it, and by next episode, it may not be in by next episode, but in two episodes' time, we'll devote some serious time to that. And as a subscriber, and one of the biggest debates over the last couple of months is the whole splitting of the content, and there's been some nutbag subscribers, you know, getting all hoity-toity about that the free-to-play should only have access to particular things, and some guilds saying they're not going to accept free-to-plays in their guild, and there's all sorts of stuff like that. My main concern as a subscriber is that the bloody game works, and as much as I want everyone to have relatively equal access, I certainly don't want to be prompted to pay for crap if I know I'm already subscribing.
No, well, but you probably won't. No. Like I say, everyone in the PTS at the moment is a free player, so we've actually got no idea how things are going to be presented for preferred or sub players.
But I mean, yeah, if for some reason it was, and we'd know George Lucas has given up and gone to work for BioWare, and that's why he sold the rest of his stuff, because that'd be some sort of decision he'd make if everyone was seeing it. But we'll talk more about that later. So anything else, Wojtos, on before we go on? Otherwise, we'll jump into Guild Wars 2.
No, unfortunately, I don't really have a massive amount of news.
I mean, I need to say, I actually feel like I've been a good boy the last fortnight, probably making up for your lack of time to do a lot the last fortnight, in that I actually put serious time into all four a number of evenings. So I actually, you know, spent some quality time with my consular for the first time in quite a while, which was good. So, but that'll do for SWTOR then. So let's move on to Guild Wars 2. Guild Wars 2. It's all about Halloween. And if you're a Halloween cynic like me that thinks, you know, it shouldn't be allowed in Australia because it's just a ridiculous importation of another custom. You like Halloween, dear Simon?
I have no problem with Halloween. I have no problem at all. Because
I had a weird stalker guy on the 31st. It was horrible.
Was that you, Simon?
No. No, it wasn't. No,
sound like you, actually.
I have boxes to move. If he wasn't carrying boxes,
it wasn't
me.
So tell us about the stalker guy. That's a worthy story.
Oh, well, firstly, we did do Halloween last year. We got the candy, and unfortunately, the majority of the kids that knocked on our door were sort of the 10 to 12-year-old boys who weren't dressed up or anything. They just wanted candy. But there was a few that were legit, so fair enough. But this year, we're like, no, we're not going to do it. My housemate was going out, so I was home alone, and they started knocking almost as soon as we got home, but about 10 minutes or so. But anyway, there was a knock, like not just a knock, a pounding, like door shaking, pounding. And then there was like this pause. And then I was like, oh, I don't think there's anyone home. And then pound, 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 pound again. And I'm like, oh. And then they walked off. And I was like, oh, that's a little weird. Because I'm hearing this all from the inside as well. You know, I'm not opening the door or looking out a window or anything. I don't know who's on the outside. About 15 minutes later, the same pounding started again. And I hear that voice like, oh, well, the dog's there. The dog wasn't there before, was it? Was the dog there? No, I wasn't there before, which, by the way, the dog was. And then it was pound, pound, pound again. They're like, oh, there's a car. That car wasn't there this morning. I know that car wasn't there this morning. Which sort of like, I was like going, oh my God, these people noticed that I went to work this morning. Yeah. Pound, pound, pound again. And it just went on for about 5 minutes with him doing this vocal deduction through my door. Like he would, you know, if he could solve the mystery of if somebody was home, someone would open the door and give him candy. And I was like, I'm curled up on the couch going, go away, go away, go away.
See, another reason to not have Halloween.
He eventually walked away muttering, but I was just thinking, you'd think if he knocked and nobody answered, then either no one's there or they don't want to open the door. And we didn't have our light on either, which I've been told in America, if you have your front porch light on, it means you're home. And if you don't have it on, then don't go knocking.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's the opposite, because usually here it's the other way around, isn't it? If you're out, the light's on. If you're home,
yeah,
it's not.
Well, I told my housemate that when he went out, I'm like, I'm not leaving the light on for you.
No, God no.
You can stumble with the key and roll like it.
No,
so, yeah.
And look, I'm sure I'm in the minority about hating Halloween, particularly amongst the gaming community, but I don't know. I'm not ashamed to admit I went out for dinner to avoid the trick-or-treaters. Simon, did you have many knock on? Oh, no. Well, they wouldn't have known. They were just boxes, so they wouldn't have probably come near you.
No, they wouldn't have gotten past the security door, quite frankly.
Yeah, that too. The one we had to put in since you got all your fan stalkers.
Yeah, them.
Yeah.
The ones that mysteriously disappear.
You could make a box fort. That would work.
That's right.
No. Maybe you can make one to keep your stalker out.
Yeah, it's all right. So anyway, that was a long-winded segue to Guild Wars 2, but Halloween, that's right, that was just right. So the Halloween event in Guild Wars 2 has ended, I believe, or by the time you listen to this, it definitely will have. So I've only played probably, when I say I played all four games, I did probably only put in about an hour and a half on Guild Wars 2 and never got deep into the Halloween content. So Chrissy, this is all yours. How did you find the Halloween event and what were the highlights and lowlights?
Oh, I must admit I didn't do much of it myself. I'm not a huge fan of in-game events. I did some of the Labyrinth and I kind of found it to be exactly like other dynamic events. You know, you randomly get thrown in there with a bunch of other people in the overflow as well because the overflow were back. And there was a few good fights in there, but for the most part, I think I only did it for about an hour, got bored, went back and started leveling another character through the newbie zones.
Yeah, so I mean, so there wasn't a huge amount of storyline associated with it. It was more just the fluid events and stuff like that.
Yeah, they did do phases, and I know the Mad King came from Guild Wars, and I used to do the Mad King event in Guild Wars, so I was kind of hoping to experience some of that kind of flowing on, but I mean, it might have been there, but I didn't really see it, and I must admit I didn't really go looking very hard.
And it's just interesting. I've had zero feedback, you know, on just, you know, from Twitter or a few gaming groups on Facebook. Yeah, there's just been very little comment on it, which doesn't mean it's been bad. I think it's just because Guild Wars 2 is relatively new, I think you're right, just people seeing it's just another event that they get thrown into and see how it goes. But how are you finding Guild Wars 2 overall? Still, you know, is it still a dominant game that you're playing?
I would say no. The first 2 weeks was out, I was kind of one of those love-hate relationships, you know, where you play it constantly when you get home, but whenever somebody talked about it, you just kept saying negative stuff. Like, I got to level 80 in the first 2 weeks with my Norn Ranger, and I loved her very much, except for her voice. Her voice made me want to strangle her every time there was a cutscene. But I sort of got to level 80, and like a lot of people, it was kind of like, well, what do I do now? I 100%ed all the zones as I got up. So when I got to level 80, I only had the ore islands to go, which is a little bit different, that area, but I didn't enjoy it very much. So I went back and started leveling all my alts, and I did buy extra character slots. So I have one of every class. Thank you very much, ArenaNet. And it was like an extra $30 on top of the $80 I've already spent. And then I brought a couple of bank slots, and I'm terrible when it comes to cash shops. But yeah, I tend to pop in every now and then and play for a bit, and I enjoy it while I play it. But the moment I log out, there's never that sort of urge to log back in again, which is very sad because I wanted to love Guild Wars 2 very, very much, but it just doesn't have the hook I was hoping for.
No.
the dynamic events are fun when there's people there. So if you're in a zone that there's lots of people, they can be, well, not too many people, because then they just turn into a Slayer fest, but or Zerg fest. Yeah. But that it's more enjoyable. But then you get to sort of the mid zones where people aren't at, and either they get bored leveling on the way through, or maybe they just rush past there, or maybe they're doing World v. World or something. But suddenly the dynamic events aren't very fun and they become horrible. And I know right at the beginning I transferred to a new server, and like I was the only one in the zone, and all the dynamic events had failed and they'd taken over all the outposts, and I was kind of like going, ah, this is going to be fun.
And look, I'm in a violent agreement with you about the population of the zone making or breaking it. So because I'm absolutely hopeless and Guild Wars 2 tends to be the third or fourth choice for an MMO if I'm going to play one, is I'm still stuck on, I think it's level 13 or 14 with my Mesmer, and that's my only tune. And so I'm in, you know, Dicky Metrica province still, which is essentially the starting area. And because most people have moved beyond that, that even the events I can't get through usually because there's no one else around and I can't take it all on myself. I just get my ass handed to me. So I'm actually a bit stuck.
Yeah, it cannot be fun. I got lucky. I was playing my Guardian Char through, oh, I'm going to hate this, the area just outside the human city. And some of the dynamic events you can start. So there's like a guy and I talked to him and he started an escort quest. And I'm not a fan of escort quests. WoW used to make me want to, you know, strangle something every time it was an escort quest. But then, you know, about three or four people sort of rounded up and we got it done. So that was good. It was just these people came out of nowhere. I didn't see them until the event started and then they all came in. And I thought, well, that's awesome. But what if those people weren't there? Which is what you find quite often. I started one because everyone loves the human starting areas. Well, I must admit it's one of my favourites. So I think a lot of people tend to hang around there. But I was up in one of the char areas and I started an escort quest and, yeah, nobody came. I was surrounded by ghosts and I just kept dying and dying and dying. And I'm like, this isn't fun.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you raise a really good point about logging out and not having an immediate desire to log back in. And I know that's my experience. But that said, I'm not hearing lots of negativity either. So it's a really interesting one, how it's going to pan out over the next 6 months. I mean, Simon, I know you played a little bit of Guild Wars 2. I mean, are you missing it by any stretch?
I have to admit, I've been so stressed out with the whole moving thing. I haven't been missing anything much, but I must admit that of the games I've been playing, apart from really wanting desperately to get my hands on Halo 4, I'm actually really looking forward to getting back into the secret world because I want to find out what happens.
Yeah.
It's compelling. Guild Wars 2, I am going to go back to it definitely because I want to get my char to have a bit more fun. But I'm a little concerned after hearing you two talking about it, whether I'm actually going to be able to or not.
And I mean, for what it's worth, which is not much because the site is skewed towards particular games anyway, but even on the Oceanic Gamer site, the amount of Guild Wars 2 interest we get is not that high. But then to be fair, also the level of Guild Wars 2 content we post is lower compared to the other three games. I mean, SWTOR and Secret World in particular dominate. But yeah, I just never get a vibe of a great deal of momentum or interest in that area. So, I mean, we'd love to hear from you either in comments to the podcast post or drop us a line via Twitter or whatever. I mean, you know, do you want us to cover more Guild Wars 2, less Guild Wars 2, about the same, which is pretty much a saying, well, we're not doing that much and we don't log in often, aside from Christy, who is playing a little bit more. So, but just let us know because I'd be interested to hear. So, yes. Well, that'll do for Guild Wars 2 then, because there's not a lot else to report there.
No, the servers haven't been going wrong and they haven't been doing anything weird or opaque like certain other companies. So there's nothing to criticise as far as their infrastructure goes because it's still seamless.
And I love the way they manage their servers and stuff, which I think I talked about last episode. They did a Q&A on Reddit, and it was fascinating. Yeah, I did, because I linked to it, so I won't talk about that again. So let's jump directly then into the secret world. So while we're on the Halloween theme, it's fair to say the Halloween event in the Secret World, which I'd argue is the only legitimate Halloween event, given that Secret World is set modern day in, you know, the real world, so to speak. Well, it's still ongoing, Christy, isn't it? I don't think it's finished.
No, I do think it's finished now from what I saw. Sorry.
Oh, that'd be why. Okay, well, because I was about to talk about a conundrum I had in that I did log in a couple of days after it went live. You received the initial quest from memory. It popped up for you straight away when you logged in.
That's right.
And it said to go to King's Mouth, essentially, which, because I'm a sucker of a player, I'm already still in King's Mouth most of the time. And started the went to what's her name anyway, the fortune teller. Went to the fortune teller, picked it up, did the first couple of bits, and then had to log out. And the other evening went, I thought, cool, I'm going to go in and finish this off. And I couldn't work out where I'd lost the quest, but I'd say it's probably finished and it's gone.
Yeah, I'm looking here on Friday. They said it's passed, and they announced the winner of the contest, which was the Templars.
Yes, I knew the Templars won. Yeah. Yeah, I did see that announcement. So I just had clicked that it meant that it was over, but obviously it had to have been.
Yeah.
So, oh, bugger. Well, from what I saw, which was bugger all, I really liked the vibe of it. The initial pickup of the quest from the fortune teller was pretty damn cool. And then it took you into the Blue Mountains, which I hadn't been to yet, and I liked it. But Chrissy, you did a little bit more than me. How did you find it?
No, actually, I didn't do it at all.
Oh, I didn't realize you didn't do it at all.
Oh, what kind of podcast are we?
No, I started it, but I've actually just started playing a new character, so I'm actually still in King's Mouth myself. But one thing I did like about it, though, especially in King's Mouth, is how much people were getting together and talking, and general chat was just flowing, and it was all positive. There was no narky or horribleness. And while I was doing my quest, I saw Incognito, and I said, oh, I see him, he's here. And then suddenly everyone's like, vroom, for me, and I'm like, oh, they like me. Okay. And then they killed him and they all left, and I was like, oh. But I really enjoyed that aspect, even though I never actually did any of it. And I enjoyed the fact that there was no decorations everywhere.
No, that's right.
Exactly. I hate when they do that. Sorry, WoW and Guild Wars 2. But you don't need to put pumpkins everywhere, really. Subtle, people. Subtle.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, did I see pumpkins?
No. I didn't.
No, you're right. There wasn't, I don't think.
I like when they do it in WoW.
Oh, they did do, actually. The fortune teller, she had some decorations.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, did she? Yeah. I think she might have. But anyway, you're right. Well, it was understated.
That's okay. Yeah. It's all right if one or two people do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a fortune teller is someone you would expect to decorate their place of business with Halloween-y stuff. But like the police station, you know, where they're all conning up and sniping zombies, you don't expect them to put up a pumpkin.
No, that's right.
No. Maybe a sad little silver tinfoil Christmas tree.
That's right.
At some point. But I could see them doing that because it would kind of fit. But yeah, no, Halloween, I don't think so. Not when they're still shooting zombies from their roof.
No, that's right. They haven't stopped doing that. I mean, so beyond that, you know, well, that was the last content update. The next one probably isn't that far off, and I'm just having a quick look again, but I'm pretty sure there's been no formal announcement about the next. Well, sorry, they've definitely talked about the next episode of content, but I don't think there's any it's very strict timelines on it, but it wouldn't be too far off given their track record over the last sort of 8 weeks or so. It's just still a bloody fun game. And for those of you that either haven't checked it out or are just checking it out, I think Simon and I both talked about this previously. It's just because there's no leveling as such, you certainly don't want to rush. And I realise in retrospect that I thought I was ready to leave King's Mouth a lot earlier than what I actually was.
You and me both, brother.
Yeah. So, I mean, I went through to, mental blank, the next part.
Savage Coast,
yeah. And realised pretty quickly that there was not a lot I could do there. Nice. So I've come back to King's Mouth and via, you know, the odd, I'm having terminology blank. What do you call the dungeons?
Dungeons?
Yeah, well, we do call it, actually, in Sigil.
They do have another, I've forgotten they what do they have another as well.
Oh, guys, we should call this podcast the Attack of the Non-Players. Anyway, I've checked out some other areas. I've seen Egypt and, I mean, it's just a stunning, stunning game. And I know I say it every episode and I'll keep saying it. Please check it out because I'd hate to, I don't think there's any risk of it going under, but if any game deserves to grow a lot more than what it is, it's that game.
I have a feeling that the secret world could be a little bit like Eve in a way, in that
I could see that, yeah.
The people, they didn't get wide take up early on, but its player base is slowly built up. And the people that are in there love the game for what it is. I think that's why the chat tends to be, by comparing it to some other games, so genial.
Yes, I know, I agree totally. And I didn't do a shout-out to our ever faithful listener, Gail, but I know I've been haranguing Gail on a daily basis at work and she's going to check it out pretty soon. And so I've built it up in a big time, so hopefully I haven't. She won't be disappointed. But, yeah, I'm yet to have anyone that's gone in and played it and come out and gone, no, I hated it. You have some people go, I don't really have time to put in that I'd like, but everyone goes, yeah, I can see how it's pretty cool and it's just bloody good.
Which faction do you think Gail's going to pick?
Oh, that's a good point. I can't see her as a Templar, that's for sure.
Oh, I don't know. I started a dragon and I ended up going to Illuminati when the game actually released because all my friends were going there. So, you know, I followed with my gas mask in hand. Although every time I see myself with the gas mask on, I kind of think that, you know, are you my mommy? So it's like, okay, no. And then I went back to Dragon when all my friends stopped playing and now I've started as Templar. So.
God, pick a side.
But it is the sort of game that you can have fun with all three. I know I've rolled a dragon but haven't done anything with it as yet. But, yes, fun. And as you said, Simon, when you get back into it, that'll be your number one priority, won't it?
Yeah. Although I'm going to keep dipping into Star Wars because despite the fact that I get so frustrated with the whole thing, I still want the game to succeed.
Oh,
I'm just baffled. Constantly baffled by what the shaved chimps at BioWare are doing. I don't know what that. It's just Anyway,
you've just prompted me on an issue I did miss in our SWOTOR coverage, and that was that there was an EA investor call over the past week where basically it didn't get a mention except in passing. So certainly no reconfirmation. Well, actually, they said that the subscriber numbers were stable, but they didn't allude to a number.
No. Well, that's shocking. That's a shocking lack of detail and totally inconsistent with. Oh God.
Yeah. Anyway, we won't go.
I don't even have the energy to be sarcastic about it anymore.
They're turning into the Ubisoft of 2012. Just a little nod to Ed. Should I talk about Tabula Rasa? What was his? There's another obsession of his. Tabula Rasa, Ubisoft. No, that was it.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah. So. Love you, Ed. God, I hope he's listening. Or maybe I hope he doesn't. So let's jump out of Secret World then finally before we get into our Star Wars Disney thing, World of Warcraft. So Christy and I are both on strong ground here in that we're both WoW players, and I know, Simon, you are when you get out of your maze of boxes. So, you know, Mr. Pandaria is now coming up nearly 2 months old, isn't it?
Mm. Wow, really?
I know, it's about 6 weeks. Anyway, I can't remember last episode whether I'd hit 90. My recollection is that I hadn't, but I was close. So I hit 90 in the last 2 weeks, which was cool. And so I've hit endgame and I'm now, you know, running heroics to gear up for LFR and maybe some real raiding with my lovely guild, the Wizards of Oz. So, yeah, and it's just, I think Luke and I talked about last episode that when you get to endgame, it's not, oh, well, I've done all the new content. It's actually, geez, which bit do I do next? Because there are so many options.
Yeah, I haven't hit 90 yet. I'm on 88, I think. Okay. But I'm getting so distracted with the pet battles and I'm leveling little pandas because I was like, I fell in love with the pandas, so I had to re-roll all pandas. And so they're distracting me and yeah, but oh, I am loving it. It's definitely one of the best expansions. But then I started TBC, so the only expansions I've really experienced is Wrath and Catter.
Well, I'm the same. I started TBC as well. Yeah, you're right. It's just a hell of a lot of good fun. And so I haven't started pet battles just because I wanted to get to 90, and now I'm sort of on some rep grind, so still preventing myself from getting into pet battles, but I should do it. I even ran my first scenario last night since the fall of Theramore, and I've been a bit cynical about the scenarios, but I actually really enjoyed it. It was the Brewfest Gardens, I think it was, and we had an asshole drop out about halfway through, so it was just the two of us. And it took a lot longer, but it was a great deal of fun working out how we could get to the end with just the two of us, particularly given that I suck in my DPS at the best of times. But luckily the other one was a pally, so I was doing a bit of healing and stuff at the same time. But the scenarios are fun. The heroics are fun at this stage, although they always get a bit old. Pet battles are fun. And then in 5.1, there's more stuff coming up, but one of the things I wanted to talk about, and I can't remember the terminology, but there's going to be PvE arenas, essentially. So under Stormwind and under Orgrimmar, from memory, there will be the ability for you to go one-on-one with computer-controlled, you know, NPCs and work up achievements and, I assume, loot. Well, there have to be loot. And valor points or whatever it is that way, which I think will absolutely reinvigorate the game even further.
Wow, that does sound exciting.
So particularly for your PvP players that want to, you know, have something a little bit different, being able to take on, I don't know whether you'd be able to take on Yogg-Saron or the Lich King, I don't know whether they've got that in mind, but, you know, be able to take on serious bosses solo, and, I mean, aside from getting your skills up better for raiding, I can see it's going to be as popular as all hell.
Yeah, I do like the solo challenges like that.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a solo player. Simon, is that something appeal to you?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that I've been hearing about Pandaria that I'm finding, as much as anything, just I'm really kind of excited that BioWare, Blizzard. Gee, they both start with B and I'm tired. That Blizzard have been able to so successfully reinvigorate what 8-year-old game.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not good. It's not winning everyone over. People who are jaded with the whole WoW experience probably aren't going to fall back in love again because the things that irritated them before or they got tired of before are still there. But I think they've, again, from what I've heard, been able to really spark the whole thing up and also provide a good amount of appeal for people who maybe have never even got into Warcraft before.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a big hook there for people that haven't. And if you haven't played WoW before or you are a bitter and twisted ex-player like I know Ed was, this is a different game. And even just things like the game mechanics, and I talked last time about some funny ones, but just having quested, and I think I've done all the quests now in the Dread Wastes, some of the mechanics there are fascinating in that you get some particular abilities. So you have a button appear that allows you to tame a pretty much any of the NPCs in the Dread Waste, and they fight alongside you.
Mm-hmm.
But also the one I had, and I believe there were a number of them, but the one I scored was that if you suddenly pull two or three mobs, this manted character comes down from the air and does this huge amount of AoE damage to basically not... It doesn't tend to kill them unless they're getting low in health anyway, but basically makes evens up the fight for you if you've accidentally drag too many mobs. And still, it's still a hard fight and you're still at risk of dying and you still have to think about what you're doing. But just some cool stuff like that, you go, that's a bloody great idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I know I've read of, I know WoW Insider ran a great article, but a couple of other locations. The Dread Waste alone as a questing zone is great fun, whether you've hit cap or not. So... yeah, building up my Klaxi rep first and then working on the rest, but there's a lot of gameplay in there, I can see. And then 5.1's hitting in only a matter of weeks, I believe.
Yeah, they're really keeping the pace up, aren't they?
So, just like BioWare.
Yeah.
That's the second time you've cleared your throat tonight. So that's anything else, Chris, you want to talk about? Mr. Pandaria, before we jump into some Disney fun?
No.
No, that's good.
Pandas are cool. That's pandas are cool. Pretty much it.
And actually, yep. Well, I think we talked about last week, they actually have made pandas cool, and I've certainly started leveling a Pandaren monk because I want to experience the class as well. So.
I've never liked warriors. It was like the one class, besides rogues. Rogues is my anti-class, but warriors I just never enjoyed. And I rolled a panda warrior, and she's so cute. She does all these little sort of samurai moves with her giant axe, and I'm like, oh. So I love warriors. So good on you, Blizzard. You made me love warriors.
No, the animations of the character are great. So I'm all of level 4, I think, but what I've seen I've enjoyed. So.
Yeah.
It's impressive what they still can squeeze out of the engine.
It's getting so old now, but they keep coming up with new stuff.
Mm. And that was one last thing I wanted to mention. There was I think it was on the official WoW forums anyway, someone senior in Blizzard has talked about how excited they are working on the next expansion.
Ooh.
So, really?
Yeah, so I know there were some people saying this could be the last expansion. I was never convinced of that.
No way.
No, so there is definitely another expansion coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's the world of Warcraft.
Yeah, that's right.
it has its own momentum. I mean, apart from killing the servers, Blizzard couldn't stop this if they tried.
No,
there's just too many people.
And even if it got to a low numbers, you send it free to play, and they've got an ongoing model there. So, yeah.
Yeah, they will have a really good example of several good examples of how to do it, and probably one of how not to.
At least you're consistent, mate. That's good. Love it. All right, let's get off MMOs then and move on to, and there's no music bit for this, it's just let's talk about probably, I'd argue, the biggest Star Wars-related news in a lot of years. Particularly, I think it was only last episode was I talking about how I got caught out by an old April Fool's joke about James Cameron and George Lucas partnering up for more films, and I was devastated when I realised it was a false post for April Fool's Day this year. And, well, it's become reality in that Disney, I think it was a little bit over $4 billion, has bought out Lucas Film. And I'm pretty sure Industrial Light and Magic's part of that.
Yeah, and Skywalker Sound.
And Skywalker Sound, yeah.
And THX and all the other bits and pieces.
Stuff.
Oh, wow.
And they've also confirmed that come end of 2014, well, actually, I don't know whether they said what month, but I'm assuming end of 2014, episode 7 of the Star Wars franchise will come out. And the reaction's been from, oh, my God, they're going to kill it all over again, to what tends to be my position, which is they can't do any worse than what Lucas did. And given the predominance of three, although I'm not a big fan of the 3D as a general rule, just having seen Judge Dredd 3D, if they manage to pull off a Star Wars movie that has that edgy, good story and the quality of something like Judge Dredd 3D, I think they've got a blockbuster on their hands. Let's go to Simon first on this one.
I don't really have an opinion.
Surely not.
You've been inhaling too many box fumes.
Yes, I have. Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen with this little arrangement. You could argue that Disney managed to take the spark out of Pixar after they bought it off Steve Jobs. So, I mean, Cars 2 arguably was not a particularly strong outing. You could also argue that what was the one about the girl warrior, the Brave? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, Brave, I think it was. Yeah,
yeah, I've heard some iffy comments about that. That said, they're still perfectly charming movies, and people enjoyed them.
Was Toy Story 3 post purchase?
No, that's pre.
Yeah, okay.
That said, with the Disney money behind the Star Wars IP, Disney are not going to want to have this thing just sort of flapping around like a dead fish. Well, a dying fish, sorry. I'm wondering if BioWare may perhaps see an injection of funds. I know that Disney don't directly own EA or BioWare, but they do own the IP. So you can't help wondering whether in the interests of that, they may end up looking at providing more resources either from the Lucasfilm end of things or even some sort of direct injection into the project itself. It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, I before I throw to Christy, yeah, they could. And I know there's been a lot of conjecture about, well, where will Episode 7 be set? Well, by definition, it's not going to be the Old Republic. It's going to be just how far in the future after the events of Episode 6 they are. But I would have thought, given the flack they caught for Episodes 1, 2 and 3, I reckon they're going to continue the pretty immediate story from the original trilogy.
Yeah, my understanding would be that the third trilogy was supposed to, and this is going back a fair way, was supposed to be pretty much the stories of the three main characters from the original trilogy. Luke, but quite a bit older, so there'd be a gap.
Well, yeah.
Maybe another 20... Well, maybe a 20-year gap or something like that. I think it was like a 30-year gap.
So you give Mark Hamill some Botox and he might be able to step up?
Well, they're probably about the right... well, maybe they're a bit older, but I don't know. It may be that they do it through CG.
Yeah, that too, yeah. So, but...
especially if James Cameron or someone like that, or even Weta got involved,
yeah.
do it as mocap. I mean, I don't think it's still quite there to be able to pass for real life.
No,
especially if it's photorealistic humans. But I mean, what they did with, I've said this before, Jeff Bridges, isn't it? Yes.
Oh, in Tron.
Yes, in Tron. Mm. I mean, that wasn't quite there, but it didn't have to be in that instance.
No,
but it's getting damn close. But I think they could probably pull it off. I'm not sure about Carrie Fisher, but Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill could probably about the right age.
Yeah, that's right. Agreed. Chrissy, what's your take on it?
When I first heard the news, I just pictured the sort of Disney, classic Disney, you know, princess storyline in a Star Wars setting. And it was quite quite funny. I enjoyed that. And then I thought about it a bit more. I'm not too sure about it. I'm on the stance that 1, 2 and 3, I didn't hate them, but yeah, compared to 4, 5 and 6, it was pretty downhill. So I'm not really sure. I'm not a huge Disney fan. They have a lot of money and they certainly know what to do. Like, they know their business. They know how to do it. So it's a bit wait and see. I can't see it having much effect, though, on Star Wars The Old Republic MMO.
No.
But kind of good if it did, actually. Maybe they could, you know, slap BioWare over with a... Oh, you know, week old fish and say, wake up, do a proper free to play, like Ion. That's perfect. Do that. Yes. Look, money. See? Yes. Yeah. But
I can't see it happening in any substantive way in that respect. I mean, the official StarWars.com had an interview with Lucas, Kathleen Kennedy, who will be heading up the new division under Disney. And, I mean, George Lucas alluded to the fact he's got the scripts, you know, God knows how many years ago he wrote them. He's got the scripts for the three movies in the drawer that they'll work up further.
No, he's lying.
Well, you reckon he hasn't done them?
I reckon he hasn't done them. He hadn't fleshed out the stories for the prequel trilogy, and I'm pretty damn confident he hasn't got these the next three sorted out, even thumbnailed probably.
Yeah,
I mean, he even lied to Steven Spielberg about the Raiders of the Lost Ark movies.
So you've just shattered me now. I just imagine these, albeit needing lots of work, beautiful 7, 8, 9 scripts ready to be used as a basis for something good.
I heard rumors that it was following the story of, like, Princess Leia had children and it's following that story. So I'm like, I don't think so.
Well, if that's the case, then you can bet there's going to be Ewoks in it. And if there are, I'm going to San Mateo and I'm burning his freaking house down.
No, see, I'm up for
see,
Ewoks.
See, Jar Jar blinks in it as well. He comes back.
I'm up for Ewoks.
Oh, yeah, Gungan style. Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm totally happy to accept Ewoks if there's no Gungans in it. That's my trade-off. So, yeah, it's going to be absolutely fascinating, and you can be assured that even if it's going to be excremental, the first movie, that a lot of us will go and watch it. I know I certainly will. Just pull off Judge Dredd, guys. You pull off the quality of that in Star Wars, you're onto something. And I assume neither of you two have seen Judge Dredd 3D.
No, but no. I would like to. I have heard some extremely good things about it just because they've kept it simple, they've kept it gritty, and it didn't have Rod Schneider in it.
Yes, no, it was gritty. It had a real Matrix feel to some extent. But they were relatively true to the comic, although, as you said, much more understated than the comic as far as the mutants. You know, there were all sorts of very deformed, colourful-looking mutants and stuff in the comics, and it's a much grittier, darker sort of city. But, yeah, the CG, some of the effects and the 3D are actually done well, and you can see, okay, this is what 3D should be about, let alone the story being good. So best action film since Avengers.
Ooh.
I'm not saying it's definitely not better than Avengers, but it's the best action one I've seen. But then I think that's actually the only action film I've seen since Avengers, so I'm not sure how good a recommendation that is.
You're talking to a Joss Whedon fangirl here, so watch what you say.
I mean, like, Avengers is definitely a better movie overall, but it was a good movie.
I can't believe they cancelled Dollhouse.
I know. And at least Firefly. He got a chance to finish it, though.
Yes, he did. And at least we got
the movie. Firefly.
Well, we got the movie.
Yeah, that was...
Although the ending was sad.
Oh, wasn't it ever? There was tears.
Poor Wash.
Maybe we need a Dollhouse podcast. I'm ashamed to admit I've never seen Dollhouse. I don't, so I need to watch that. I promise I will. I'm currently watching Falling Skies at the moment. And I'm 2 episodes in and I'm a bit cynical about it. It's a little bit, I don't know, soap opera-ish. Have either of you seen Falling Skies?
No, I'm watching Revolution.
Tell us about that. I don't know that one either.
It's J.J. Abrams doing his usual, let's just confuse the crap out of everyone and they'll keep tuning in, and it's working.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one. I mean, Walking Dead's the other obsession at the moment because it's Series 3 is, you know, coming out every week at the moment. It's about 4 episodes in. So
just don't play the Walking Dead video game.
The Secret World has enough zombies for me.
And the Walking Dead one is suckerific.
Whereas the TV show is wonderful if you get the chance.
I read the comic book, so I kind of already know what's going to happen. But they're not really following the comic as closely as I would like, actually, because the comic, I think, is a lot better than the series.
Yeah, the only issue they got with the comics, there are so many of them, and I did a calculation at the end of series two that they're only up to about issue 15 of the comics. They're going to have to do, you know, a dozen series to even catch up to what's there now. So anyway.
Yes, and anyway, don't talk to me about errant adaptations. Otherwise, I'll just have to bring up Wanted again. You don't want that.
See, we need a popular culture podcast.
I'm starting to think I know more about that than gaming, which is quite sad.
Well, we've all demonstrated an encyclopedic knowledge of
MMOs.
Anything other than what we're supposed to be talking about. Right. So,
yes.
Although, here's an interesting conundrum. When Star Wars The Old Republic came out, they closed Star Wars Galaxy down. And I believe they never actually officially said they did it because Star Wars is coming out and they wanted to close, you know, keep the IP on one. Well, what happens if Disney releases a game? Do you reckon they'll close Star Wars The Old Republic MMO down?
It's a possibility, particularly if they release an MMO, but I can't imagine Disney releasing an MMO.
No.
They probably will now.
Well, I do believe they do make games. Oh, they have games based on Disney. I don't know if Disney actually published the games, though. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Star Wars games out there.
Yeah. Well, there's the what's it, 1313? Is that right? Is that what the new one's called?
Oh, the Bounty Hunters? Yeah, the Star Wars 13. Yeah, it's 1313 or whatever it is. Yeah. It looks amazing.
Yeah, that I'll definitely give that a shot, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll do because we've been rabbiting on for over an hour now. So anything else from either of you before we wrap it up?
No.
Back gaming? Will you be out of your box hell by next fortnight?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Christy, anything from you?
No, although now I'm picturing a crossover between World of Warcraft and The Secret World where there's pandas shooting zombies.
Well, you could be onto something.
I reckon it'll be pretty good.
Just don't get Ubisoft to make it.
Or BioWare.
Or BioWare, that's right. All right, well, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks, everyone, as always, for listening. We'll be back with episode 46 in a fortnight, and we probably need to think about some episode 50 extravaganza, like, I don't know, maybe we all play all the games for once and actually talk sensibly about them. That could be episode 50.
Dun, dun, dun.
That seems like a big ask, but I think we might be able to pull that one off.
Or maybe we should do a live podcast. I know one of the podcasts I listen to every 50 episodes, they do a live one where they it's a comic one. They book out a comic store and get 150 people there. So I can see some problems with that as far as getting 150 people.
Well, maybe we should just do it. Do a live stream on Twitch of us getting completely and utterly destroyed in some video game or another. You know, I've heard video games are quite interesting and entertaining.
I think we need to try one.
That's propaganda. So, yeah, we'll be back in a fortnight. As always, please don't hesitate to drop us a line on contact@oceanicgamer.com on our never-used forums at oceanicgamer.com/forum.
Way to sell it, David.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's just a reality. I went in there tonight and deleted four spammers, and that was the only activity. And I understand why. Forums are very 20th century.
Indeed.
Twitter.com/ The Oceanic Game. I had to think there for a minute. And the same for Facebook and Twitter in particular. We've got a really nice community growing there. So jump on that. It'd be great to have you there. And Simon, I know your Twitter handle by now, which is RPGBeatsRL.
Yay.
And you've been quiet for obvious reasons the last fortnight, but you're still on there finding the important news.
Yes. No computer at home and too busy at work. So.
That's right. And Christy, feel free to now shout out your blog and or Twitter.
Oh. I don't know about my Twitter. The only sort of tweets I've made. Tweets.
Yeah, tweets. Right, that answers the question. Joke. Yeah, don't worry about the Twitter URL. I think you've just answered that one. So just pimp your blog.
It's blog.virtualdropbears.com. Nothing on there now, but it is getting revitalized. So in a week's time, there should hopefully be some stuff up.
And then Chrissy's every week, I said, on the site with the Naked Gamer column doing some nice opinion pieces. So That's always great. So, yeah, that'll do. We'll call it quits there, and we'll see you in a fortnight. Bye.
See ya.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.